Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, here's a question that affects us all, and if not now, may do very soon. How confident can we be that Ireland's 22,000 nursing home residents are safe, and that if concerns are raised by staff, that they'll be listened to? It's one of the many questions raised by reports published in part today following a serious sexual assault 3 years ago at a HSE residential facility for older people. A woman known as Emily was raped by a healthcare assistant who is now serving a prison sentence for the offence. The HSE now says a further 21 cases of suspected assaults of residents at the very same nursing home have already been referred to Gardaí. Dr. Sarah Donnelly is spokesperson for the Irish Association of Social Workers, the IASW, and she's been giving me her reaction.
First and foremostly, the thoughts of the ISW are really with the residents and families impacted by this case, and also those of the staff who supported them through this very harrowing experience. I suppose the report itself is ultimately a very brief overview of what must have been a very complex social work investigation. And as you said, it showed that at least 21 notifications of reasonable concerns of abuse, in addition to the rape reported by Emily, were not reported by staff in the HSE nursing home. I suppose from our perspective, this alone should prompt government to introduce mandatory reporting and other vital measures that we really need to ensure the safety and protection of adults at risk, not only in care settings, but also in our local communities. I suppose the IASW do remain deeply concerned generally about the support provided to safeguarding social workers when carrying out safeguarding assessments or reviews like this one. So, you know, again, in 2021, the Brandon report very strongly advised the need for lessons to be learned. However, we know from our own members, we continue to receive reports from social workers in a variety of roles within the HSE who report that their expert safeguarding advice is disregarded by senior managers with less expertise than them in terms of how either concerns or reviews are handled.
Can I pause you there? Because that's something that jumps out at me, that social workers who are trained in safeguarding, who have an expertise in this area, might relay some information to HSE managers. And you're saying that could sometimes be ignored.
Yeah, ignored or disregarded or not acted on. And again, I think that there's a number of reasons for this. You know, part of the reason is sometimes the senior managers do not have a clinical background. They don't have the necessary training or expertise. And again, I suppose there's a wider issue around safeguarding and protection training for staff. You know, child protection training is mandatory. Safeguarding and protection training is not currently mandatory for all staff. So that is a real issue.
But how,
and
again, how could any manager, if there is information given that could lead to an investigation or a query or a doubt about a resident's physical or mental safety in terms of assaults, how could that be ignored in any way, shape or form?
I suppose it's a very complex issue, Cormac. And, you know, again, I think there are long-standing issues around cultures of secrecy and silence, fear of staff around speaking out. And again, we've seen similar patterns in our kind of child protection services in the 70s, 80s and 90s. And there was only really one primary legislation that kind of provided that, you know, necessary legislative underpinning to some of the child protection work that we saw kind of significant cultural change. And again, we would, you know, multiple stakeholders have called for the introduction of primary adult safeguarding legislation, as well as a number of other measures in order to ensure the safety and protection of adults at risk, whether that's those in care settings or those in our local communities.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you about the speed of progress here? Because on the News at One today on Radio One, the HSE Chief Executive Bernard Gloucester said that in this case, the files of just 35 of 70 residents have so far been reviewed. Is that fast enough? Is that adequate progress in your opinion?
Again, you know, I think that the timescale, you know, it's been 3 years Since the Emily case, I suppose, kind of emerged, and that's a significant amount of time for that investigation to take place. So again, I think questions must be asked about that, and also about the support that those safeguarding and protection social workers who carried out that investigation received. Again, we're still not clear in relation to the Emily case whether HSC, CHO and national management followed the direction and advice of the safeguarding and protection teams involved at all times. So I suppose there's still a number of question marks around what actually happened.
And in fairness to Bernard Glosser, he did say he didn't want to wait any longer before publishing those reports because 3 years had passed. And I'm sure you'd accept that point at least.
Yeah, no, we absolutely would accept that point, and we welcome the publication of the report. As I said, I suppose we still have some questions as to whether that report, I suppose, different to the National Independent Review Panel report, which was authored by the chair of the NIRP, this report was authored by senior HSE managers based on their assessment of the emerging themes from the social workers report. But again, we do not have clarity, and we don't know if the social work team who carried out that review endorsed the, I suppose, the senior manager's interpretation of their investigation.
You mentioned mandatory reporting among other measures there. What do you think needs to happen now to ensure that the protection of residents is safeguarded?
Well, I think that there's a number of measures, and again, the IASW have been very outspoken and explicit about the need, firstly, for primary adult safeguarding legislation. You know, currently, legally, safeguarding and protection social workers do not have an automatic right of entry to private nursing homes, nor indeed to private residences. And I suppose I think the Emily, the Brandon case, Aris Attracta, all speak to that culture of silence and that difficulty and that fear and that reluctance that staff have around reporting in certain circumstances like this. You know, so for residents who are, you know, what we would deem very dependent, very vulnerable, who can't protect themselves, and in those instances we absolutely do need mandatory reporting to ensure their safety and protection.
Can I ask you finally, Dr. Donnelly, about another story in the news today, HICWA's overview of its inspections of children's services. Now, I know you teach social work at UCD.
Yeah.
What are your observations there? I'm sure they're many and varied.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, that there's parallels, as I said earlier. You know, a lot of what is, you know, playing out at the moment in terms of adult safeguarding, we've already seen play out in terms of child protection in earlier decades. And, you know, for me, HICWA have been quite explicit themselves around, I suppose, what they feel inadequate powers that they have, and also that governance and kind of oversight and monitoring in terms of their ability to monitor in the way that they do in relation to child welfare and protection.
And can I ask you finally on that, is there still a huge deficit in terms of the numbers of social workers that are required to meet the demands of what's needed here?
There is a huge deficit, Cormac. I mean, there's also a recruitment and retention issue. We don't have enough social workers coming through our social work programmes. We have significant lack of funding to support social workers to do that. Procurement of social work placements is very, very difficult. So there are a number of factors that are contributing to this in terms of, you know, having the adequate workforce to meet the needs of our population.
And that was Dr. Sarah Donnelly from the Irish Association of Social Workers speaking with me earlier. Earlier today, we did ask for a statement from the HSE, which has just landed in the last few seconds, actually, and it's quite lengthy, and we'll try and adapt that and bring it to you shortly. And finally, if you've been affected by any of the issues in that interview, you'll find help at rte.ie/helplines.